Hello, you're listening to the podcast Cults and Kaiju. This is episode 6, entitled Sins of the Father. I'm your host, Trenton Payne. On this week's episode, we've had a bit of a breakthrough on the person who uploaded those cult videos on YouTube. We're going to just refer to him as Ryogi, and of course his name has been changed to protect his anonymity. Apparently he suffers from some form of dementia that suddenly came on rather quickly. Someone on his behalf, though, reached out and after some convincing, is willing to unravel a great deal about the religious organization known as the Heavenly Path and some of its members, specifically his mother. We'll call him Rin. And of course, that's a fake name as well. Well, look, I appreciate you talking with us, and I just think this is a really fascinating story. I just think it deserves to be told.
I've put many of these memories away, sort of like folding them up and burying them in the bottom of a drawer hoping to forget them. But perhaps that isn't the best medicine, and if others can learn from my life, then maybe it was all worth it.
Can we talk about your earliest memories? Who your mother was?
Her name was Emmy, and she was the partner of Jimmy Mizaki. They were never officially married, but were together for several years working at the same job.
And this was the ad agency in Japan.
That is what I'm told. My mother always used to fade into nostalgia talking about them both wandering in the forest near work. I'm not sure what part of Japan this was. One time she said it was just outside Tokyo, another time it was Nagasaki. But they both formed their own church and called it the Heavenly Path. My mother said it was very successful and they were on the verge of leaving their jobs to focus on the church when my father went away.
Did you ever hear from your father, Jimmy, again?
No. My mother made it clear that he was in heaven.
So she knew he was dead?
No. He ascended to heaven during one of their rituals in the woods. My mother said he prayed so hard to the sky god that he turned into light and floated up to heaven, and that one day, the hole in the clouds would open up wide enough and we would welcome my father back to earth with the sky god and take over the world, creating peace and harmony on the planet, once and for all. That was going to be on my 18th birthday when that happened.
Oof, that's a lot to take in.
My mother constantly spoke about what time of day I was born because exactly 18 years later, a portal would open on my chest and it would create steps up to heaven.
Was she serious about this concept? I mean, did she tell it to you like a bedtime story or something?
For as long as I can remember, my mother was very serious about it all. Even after we snuck out of Japan and moved to America, I was practically worshipped by her and her friends, especially around my birthday. That would be a big celebration where everyone wore robes and I could eat all the cake I wanted, lots of presents. They would lift me up on this chair they all carried and call me the Crown Prince. I felt very special. Then one year, I was handed something to drink and I got really dizzy. When I woke up, my mother was holding a soldering iron or some sort of heat gun over me. The others held me down while she burned a large letter X on my chest. I passed out a minute later from the pain, I think.
And the reason for this?
The X on my chest was to replicate the scar on my father's chest. Jimmy Mizaki had been burned by his father's experiments, making a weapon for Japan. My X was apparently needed to create the portal where the steps would come out and lead us up to heaven. That way, Jimmy and the sky god could come to earth. It would bring in a new age of peace and tranquility.
And you believed it?
Even as a 7-year-old, I had my doubts. But after a while, when the grown-ups all tell you what the truth is, you just start believing it. I have the scar to this day, although it's very faded. This is hard for me to talk about. Please give me a minute.
Oh man, take all the time you need. In fact, let's sort of switch gears here when you're ready. Do you remember anything about the TV show your mother and Jimmy were creating?
I was told about it, but never saw any episodes if there were any. Rogue X, or Fighter X, or something like that. Tokusatsu shows were very popular in Japan, but by the time we got to America, the only one in syndication was Ultraman. I had a love-hate relationship with that show because I thought the hero Ultraman was really cool, but my mother always said that the sky god looked more like the kaiju monsters and that we shouldn't be disgusted with them just because the monsters look different. The opening to the show is really simple, but there are silhouettes of the giant monsters that Ultraman fights, and they were creepy enough to give me nightmares.
That show for me was sort of the gateway to Japanese pop culture in general. Crazy, wonderful stuff. I think it's weird how the letter X keeps popping up. I believe the correct name of the hero in your mom's TV show was Rogue Fighter X?
Yes, that sounds right. You know, more than several of my mother's friends would rub charcoal X's on their foreheads during our ceremonies. That was just normal behavior. But after I got the scar, I tried not to think about it. I didn't even want to play tic-tac-toe after that.
I can see why. You mentioned sneaking out of Japan when you were very young. Why did your mother feel that was necessary?
She said that she was being persecuted for her beliefs. The police were conspiring against the church to keep the truth about the Holy Sky God secret. She would look at pictures of Jesus Christ and say, "That Western myth is not the truth." But she had enough followers that helped get us out of Japan. Some of them ended up going to the United States as well. There, she attempted to build up the church again. I'm not sure how many members she kept in contact with back in Japan. She was constantly writing letters to back home. My mother never worked either. She'd leave for days at a time and I'd have to take care of myself, but she never worked because we got donations apparently from church members. It never seemed like much though, because we lived in really crummy houses or apartments. And all the time, she would talk about Jimmy Mizaki. One thing I always found weird was through my entire childhood, she never just called him Jimmy. She always had to say Jimmy Mizaki. Like he was a state official or something. Maybe that was just in my head, not really sure. There's a lot about my childhood that feels like one big fever dream.
And then around, you said you were 9 maybe, that she passed away?
The authorities had been called about my well-being. Probably by some neighbors. We lived fairly meekly and never had a big place. My mother thought it was a sin to bathe every day. She lit ceremonial torches in the house a lot, especially around my birthday. People would come over wearing white robes. I guess sooner or later it was bound to happen that social services stepped in. We would have to hide every time a social worker came to the door. But one day, they brought police. I remember my mother on the phone telling church members that we needed a new place to hide and if anything happened to her then, the plan should be put into place. Not sure at the time what the plan was, but I remember at the time it made me shudder. We snuck out the back of the house and decided to try and get across the busy highway into a deserted business park. We didn't have a car. I was reluctant because of the traffic and pulled away at the last minute. My mother put up both her hands for a semi-truck to stop, but the driver didn't see her in time. I turned away.
And she died?
Yes, pretty much right away. I remember flinging myself to the ground, closing my eyes and wrapping my arms around my body as tightly as I could, so I could be nothing more than a tiny ball on the ground and pretend none of it was happening. I think I ended up biting through my tongue in stress. I heard cars pull over, then sirens. Then police yelling, then social workers talking at me. That's when my life really went into a spiral.
We haven't connected Rin to Ryogi yet, but we will. I'm a little hesitant opening up old memories for someone who went through such a traumatic childhood like Rin did. And yet I'm eager to learn more, if there is any. Was the cult done after Emmy died? These things have a way of dissipating rather quickly without a strong leader. I've certainly never heard of them, so either they were really small in number or just really secretive. I'm also really dubious as to any of the explanations about Jimmy Mizaki. Could he still be alive? And the whole kaiju and TV show hero and cult lore is all kind of bleeding together in a weird way. Imagine you're a kid watching Ultraman and your only parent is telling you the giant monster with claws and teeth destroying Tokyo is actually your grandfather and will come back one day with your father and make everything on Earth great. How utterly confusing for a child to process that. Well, thanks for tuning in. Until our next episode, this has been Trenton Payne for the podcast Cults and Kaiju.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.